Chicago, springtime is finally knocking on your door. The snow and ice may be gone, but are you ready to step out in style yet? It's time to make over your ride at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the true glam team of SUVs. If you're thinking about springing forward into a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to see which one puts the spring in your step. Need the power and durability of a Silverado, the all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer, the spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban, or the sporty, city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to shine like the new spring sun. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate your nearest Chevy dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. Take Command Podcast. Logan Paulson. I'm Craig Hoffman. Happy to be with you on a Tuesday, a mailbag Tuesday, but also, Logan, the NFC Coaches Breakfast Tuesday. Yeah, you ever go to the owners' meetings? They ever send you those?
I've never been down there, but I was checking out Sam Fortier on Instagram yesterday, and it doesn't look like it's a bad spot to go. I'll tell you that.
No,
I mean, it is, it's like right on the water. Looks nice.
Yeah. Anthony and I were joking about this on the radio show yesterday. It's like, you know, it's the hotels that you and I don't even know exist kind of place. Like, you know, oh, the Ritz-Carlton, that's not nice enough. Find me the Breakers Palm Beach or the Biltmore in Phoenix. And it's like, you just wander around this hotel that you're afraid to, like, you know, pull up a carpet string because it'll cost you $10,000. And there's executives and everybody walking around everywhere. Everyone's way more relaxed. Like yesterday, Adam Peters spoke and it was the most relaxed, most verbose I feel like I've ever heard him. You have legitimately have breakfast with the coaches, which is always great for radio as the one person who really, really cares about the sound quality in the media. When I was back on the beat, he's the only radio beat reporter. It's really great to have the some of the most important sound bites of the offseason with clanking forks in the background. But it's a great time. So we're actually recording this Tuesday morning as DQ is wrapping up the coach's breakfast. Adam Peters spoke yesterday. So we're going to talk a little bit about what they said, and then we're going to get into your mailbag questions per usual for our early week podcast. So I guess the big story, Logan, is confirmation on something from Dan Quinn yesterday or this morning where he says that Brandon Coleman is going to play right tackle. I'm glad I read multiple folks on this because it's not he's going to play right tackle. It's he's going to move to the right side. We're going to start him at tackle, which is a very different thing than like he's our starting right tackle. Clearly, that is the A1 plan, and we're hoping that it works out. But it sounds like tackle first. Let's see if we can make him a really good right tackle. And if it doesn't work, then we'll kick him out into guard. And then you just got to wonder, like, how long is that leash? Is it Brandon Sheriff 2 days of camp long? Or is this a, hey, we're going to give it a couple weeks. And obviously we'll give it the spring, but in training camp, like how long does that leash ultimately wind up being?
Yeah, and I think obviously, like we've talked about this a lot with Brandon Coleman and Laremy Tunsil, in conjunction with the Laremy Tunsil addition. But I do think, like, when you look at value, and I know people are looking at guard contract value at the moment, and they say, oh, well, guard and tackle are getting closer. Like, you just need to get, you know, four or five good guys and kind of figure it out from there. I still think when you just look at the landscape of the draft this year, the landscape of the draft last year, it's just hard to find tackles. And so if you can get somebody who can play right tackle in Brandon Coleman, again, who has the length, who has the athletic measurements and all the kind of testing numbers that would fit a tackle, I would just definitely give that a really strong look. Because, again, there's more – to me, there's more value in it. It's harder to find guys to fill those roles. And so I think it's the right move. I think it's a smart move. But like you said, like, and I think it's something that we've kind of alluded to this whole time. Like, if it doesn't work out at tackle, I think he's good enough. I think he is an NFL offensive lineman. So whether that's him playing guard or playing, you know, right tackle, I think that'll kind of shake out in the wash. But I do think ultimately, like, the thing to kind of take away is that you're going to get better at two spots with the Laremy Tunsil addition either way. And so, yeah, so I think that's, again, it's a little bit confirmation bias, a little bit kind of supporting things we'd kind of hypothesized. It's nice to hear Dan say that and kind of give us a direction for the rest of the offseason. But I think it's a good move.
Yeah, and it's not any different than what we'd expect, considering, you know, one thing that Adam said yesterday about someone, I think he was talking about the tight end room. He's like, we just want a culture of competition. Like, yeah. And so, if Andrew Wiley's smoking Brandon Coleman in training camp, like, they'll find another spot for Coleman, especially right now with Cosme out. Like, there's an extra spot available, which was kind of funny because he was like, DQ was like, you know, it's going to be on the right side. And it's like, well, if he doesn't work out at tackle and then all of a sudden Sam comes back at right guard, you'd imagine that Coleman's going to wind up playing left guard. But we'll see how that machination works out during the season. Maybe this is all for moot and he really is going to be the right tackle because it works out just fine. It's not like he was terrible last year by any stretch of the imagination. Struggled a little bit late as he got hurt, but we'll see where that goes. The other positional news coming out of the coach's breakfast this morning from DQ is new corner Jonathan Jones going to apparently play a little bit more inside. Mike Sainer still going to stay outside for right now. They're both going to cross train at both positions. And obviously this could change if all of a sudden the best player available on their board at 29 is a corner and it's that outside guy and they get someone who they think can play out there. I don't think they'll hesitate to move Mike Sainer still back inside. But as of right now, the base going into the draft is it sounds like Sainer still is going to cross train at both. Jonathan Jones going to cross train at both, but shade more inside. That means Sainer still would be shading outside. What do you make of that? Obviously opposite of Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah, I think that's kind of exactly what, at least what I thought was going to be happening, right? Like, you know, Mikey did a great job last year. I think Jonathan Jones, a really good football player that, again, to me, he just feels like the guy that can do anything. You know what I mean? He can kind of play outside if you need him to. He can back up in the slot. And so why not? You know, like, why not just have, like, kind of give Mikey his home? Jones can back up anything. You got Noah Igbinoghene still on the roster, right? Like, he can play the nickel if you need to. Like, it's just, it's good to get, it gives you more flexibility. Just like the same thing with the offensive line. It just lets you get your best three, four guys in dime out on the field. And I think, like, that's awesome, you know? And so, obviously, Jonathan Jones played predominantly outside last year, but he has played nickel in the past. So I think it's like, it just, to me, it's just like, depends on who you think's the best player outside. And right now I'd probably assume it's Mike Sainer still based on how he played last year. But again, like, it's still so early in the offseason. A lot of stuff still needs to happen. And I think this gives you a direction of what they're thinking right now. And it's so funny when you talk to fans or when I talk to players that I consult with, it's like, this is how they feel today. But like, when they get to camp, it might look totally different. When they get to OTAs, it might look totally different. And this might go in a completely different direction. And I think you just have to be ready as a fan base for that, but I think this is a good starting spot.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
For sure. It was interesting, too, to hear DQ talk about the things that attracted them to Jones. Speed and tackling. He was very clear about those two things. And so, obviously, he's not probably as fast as he used to be. But this is a guy that ran, like, low 4.3s when he came out. Yeah. He just came out a decade ago at this point. But still super fast. And the tackling is what you want in that nickel spot. So, it makes a ton of sense for, like, a guy who's going to have run support responsibilities. I thought Renner was so good with us last week when he talked about how, you know, that nickel spot, you're kind of a linebacker in the run and a DB in the pass. And so, you need someone who knows how to fit runs, who can make, you know, solid tackles in the run game. Not to mention the screen game is such a huge part of what so many teams do now. Can you get out there and be a sure tackler on the edge? So that sounds like what they're going to do with Jonathan Jones and Mike Sanders still. Last but not least, this was news from the Adam Peters side of the house yesterday. And not really news, but I thought just really good perspective. And I was kind of mad at myself, frankly, Logan, for not thinking of this sooner. But Adam was asked about using all these draft picks for trades. And he was, you know, like, look, you got to take advantage of opportunities. A guy like Tunsil's not available very often. You know, same thing with Debo. Like, you know, I know him really well. Opportunity presented itself, and for the cost, it was a no-brainer for us. But the concern is that you don't get the cheap talent, if you will, that you get when you use your draft picks on actual young players in the draft, and you get the rookie contracts. Well, Peters reminded everybody that last year, Logan, they drafted 9 guys, and every single one of them made the team. And that's before you add Colson Yankoff and Tyler Owens, 2 undrafted free agents. So we're talking about 11 guys on rookie contracts in one season. And obviously, 7 rounds in the draft, you start with 7. You can always get the compensatory picks, whatever. But if you take that and say, hey, we need to average 21 picks over 3 years or 14 picks over 2 years, if you go this year, the 5 picks they have, 11 plus last year, 11 last year, 5 this year, that's 16. They're ahead of schedule. 5 next year, even if they don't make a move and recoup any more draft capital, they're still sitting at 21 over 3 years. And that's me adding on that, not Adam. But like, I think that's what he's insinuating is like, guys, relax. We're fine. What do you make of that reminder, if you will? And does it change at all? I know we've been fairly supportive of these trades. We like them just because that's our analysis, not because we're like, go team, pom-poms, yay.
Right.
But like, does that even, I guess, strengthen your support for this?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously, like, I do think that retaining draft capital, retaining cost-controlled assets is important, right? But I also think finding good football players is equally as important. I think when you looked at the direction that this roster to go, like, needed to go, like, the Laremy Tunsil trade specifically, like, had to happen. Like, I don't know how else you would have done it. So, for whatever the cost, whatever the kind of cap ramifications, like, to me, that doesn't even matter because you needed to get a player in at that position. And it wasn't going to happen in the draft, most likely, and it wasn't going to happen in free agency, just to get that cleared up here. I do think that, you know, obviously the 11 rookies last year, the 5 and the 5, I think that kind of is a nice illustration of the direction this could go. But like, as you know, Craig, you've covered the NFL for a long time. Like, it's those 11 guys, some of them might not make the team this year, right? Like, there might be some turnover there, right? And I do think that Adam is aware of that. So I do think at 29 this year, like Mike Renner talked about, like, trading out of that spot, recouping some draft capital this year, making sure you're locked in with your free agency stuff. I mean, the more draft study I do, the more I'm like, man, free agency, if you handle it right, can, or the UDFAs after the draft, like, yeah, it can be an absolute gold mine. So I think if you can mine those opportunities well, find good football players, they can do this in different ways. Like, when I was in Atlanta, I remember they brought in like 20 or 17 undrafted free agents because they had 4 draft picks 1 year. And if you do that, if you handle that process appropriately, you can get good football players there too. So I think the point stands, right? I think it becomes a little bit more challenging now because you have less high draft capital to work with. But I also trust that Adam is acutely aware of that. I also know that next year we're going to have some coaches leave, right? We're going to get some compensatory picks. Players are going to leave. We're going to get some compensatory picks. So all of a sudden this 5-5 is now, maybe it's 6 this year with a trade back, and maybe it's 7 next year with some comp picks. So like, to me, right. It'll kind of work out in the wash, but I do think it's good perspective that Adam provided for sure.
For sure. It just shows that you're not nearly as far behind the eight ball as some people would think because you've got 5 and 5. And the other reason that you want to, you know, maybe trade back and get more sooner rather than later, it's not necessarily about just what you have on draft day. They can't make the Laremy Tunsil trade if they don't have all the picks that they've got. Like, you've got to be able to make... And who says, by the way, that they don't trade someone, that they don't trade a Deron... Like, what happens if they draft a DT, Walter Nolan falls to them, and he's the guy at 29, and all of a sudden they get to training camp, and someone else needs a defensive tackle, and they're like, hey, Deron Payne, you're in the final year of your deal. This team wants to give you an extension. We're going to make a trade. Now, all of a sudden, they get a second-round pick back for Deron Payne. Like, that could happen. Jahan Dotson got them a third last year. So, like, these things can happen in training camp, in the middle of the season, in whenever. And again, I haven't heard anything. That's just me spitballing an idea in terms of that. But the more capital you have sooner, you are then more maneuverable, especially to go up in the draft or to acquire another player via trade. And ultimately, the point is to get as many good football players as possible. Yes, you want to build through the draft because that is probably where you're going to get your best players. And that is the one risk that's still on the table here. But they've maintained their first and second round picks throughout this. I guess they give up a second in 26 to Houston for Tunsil, but they could still get a second back before then. So we'll see how that goes.
And I think to your point, just kind of like think about like what it means to actually have a GM that's like, you know, very competent at the job. Like all of a sudden everything is on the table. There's none of this like, oh no, we're fouled into five picks. Like they understand the restrictions that they place on themselves, and they understand also how to kind of get themselves out of those situations too. So I expect, again, and they're always thinking about stuff. They're always thinking about trades. They're like just how dynamic the offseason was last year, how aggressive they were in certain spots, how aggressive they were this year. This is a different kind of ball of wax than I think Commanders fans are used to. And it's a dynamic front office. And it's people that are like, it's a playmaking front office is the thing I'm going to say. And I think keeping that in mind as you look at this, like this is not going to be the same thing next year. It's not going to be the same thing in 2 years. Like they're going to work to kind of, you know, put themselves in the best situation to be successful, like you alluded to there. They're going to trade players. They're going to work comps. They're going to trade back in the draft. Like, even if you trade out of that second round spot, just as a hypothetical, like, you're going to recruit draft capital for that, even if you move a couple spots. So, like, I expect them to leave the draft this upcoming year, 2025, probably with 6 or 7 picks. Like, they're going to find a way to get that done. So, in terms of me being concerned about cost-controlled assets, all that stuff, is it something to be aware of? Yes. But do I have the utmost confidence that they are also aware of it? Yes. And do they know how to rectify and fix some of these restrictions that they place on themselves? I think that's also emphatically yes. So, I mean, that's one of the reasons I'm so excited for draft night, is because I can't wait to see them kind of like work some magic and figure some stuff out.
Yeah. Although I'm not that excited for draft night because I'm like, oh, they're just going to get to 29 and trade the pick, and it's going to be like midnight, and I'm going to want to go to bed, and I'm old, and that part of it is it's past my bedtime. Commanders, please keep picking past my bedtime. It is worth it. It is worth it for all the joy that it brings us during the season. I just to wrap this up, like that is something I've learned from covering them and also, frankly, the Wizards. The Wizards are a very dynamic front office that you are constantly, like, of course, how you write a particular season, like it's over when it's over. Like no matter what the Wizards do in the future, the 2024 season will have been terrible in the win-loss column. They stink. And they're doing that on purpose for a thing, and that's on a different show because this is the Commander show. But like, I've learned to understand how they operate, where it's like, we acquire this second round pick or this late first so that we can trade up later. Like, it is a constantly moving equation that you can grade it as you go, but it's a good way to look foolish and wind up on Cold Takes Exposed later because you are often grading something that is only halfway done. And Adam Peters operates in many ways the same way, where you might have it's chess. Like, you're thinking multiple moves ahead, and that is how this goes. Same way where you might have it's chess. Like, you're thinking.